Hello, everybody. I'm Zach Shellhammer. Welcome to my Adventure Life podcast and vodcast on Be Alive. For this episode, we have Rush Sturgis. Rush Sturgis is one of the top kayakers in the world. He's also an eight-time award-winning filmmaker, director, music composer. There isn't much this guy cannot do, and he's an extremely talented human. I've known Rush for a long time, and it was great to sit down with him and just chat about, you know, how do you balance this, like following your passions versus life, and how do you balance social media with career? And it was a really interesting conversation. I enjoyed getting to know him some more, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation too. Over the years, I've met some of the top outdoor and adventure athletes in the world, and through the My Adventure Life series, we're getting to see how their passion has fueled their careers. I really hope you enjoy getting to know some of these people as much as I have. All right, everybody, welcome to the show. If you're tuning in on the podcast app, we are sitting on the back of my Jeep Wagoneer in the Central Oregon area. And it is freezing out here.
It is cold.
But the good news is I am blessed with the company of Rush Sturgis. And in case you're not familiar with Rush, he's a eight-time award-winning filmmaker. He's a professional kayaker. He's a music composer. He's a rapper. This guy just pretty much crushes life. So welcome, Rush.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Super excited to have you here, man. What do you think? Are you cold or are you going to be all right?
Luckily I got this kind of ridiculous jacket on. It's a nice little, nice to have on a cold day like this. So I think I'll be able to weather the storm.
Yeah, good call, man. I'm really happy the sun's out, but there's also a pretty heavy breeze to my back right now.
Yeah.
It's like just going right down my neck. So I know that you just love pop quizzes, right?
Love them. Yep.
wasn't that the best part of school?
What are you going to throw at me here?
Well, I mean, I just want to know how knowledgeable you are about kayaking.
Oh. Well, that kayak, I do know a couple things about kayaking. Not a whole lot, but, you know, let's see what I can do.
We're going to throw you right into the hot seat then. Let's see how this goes. All right. Kayaks were first made with what material? Was it A, bamboo and palm leaves? B, a hollowed out Lupa tree, which is known for its smooth surface, allowing it to guide nicely, or C, whale bones and animal skin?
Whale bones and animal skin.
Oh, man. I was going to say D. Is it made with Eric Jackson Stoke?
Yeah, there's a good chance of that, too. Right. I don't know. It's a bit of a shot in the dark, but I mean, I'm going, Inuit. That's, I would say, would probably be the very first kayak made, right?
Yeah, I think you definitely nailed that. All right, one down. Let's keep them going, man. All right, the world record for highest waterfall drop by Tyler Brandt was 189 feet, 167 feet, or 113?
Well, this I definitely do know. It is actually 189 feet. However, when we first did it, when I was there to film Tyler running it, we measured it at 186, but went back to measure it at 189.
Okay, so. Wow. So you were part of that project.
Yep, for sure.
Well, dang it, that was a super easy question.
That's pretty easy.
You seem like you understand water pretty well. Like, did you grow up basically in a river?
Yeah. No, I did. I grew up right next to the river, and my family has a whitewater kayaking school, so I was pretty much thrown into it from a pretty early age. But water is an interesting one. I think that it's we always say you know water is very forgiving until it's not. And what I mean by that is it really does let you get away with a lot of things, you know, when you're learning to kayak, or, you know, surfing can be the same way. But things can also go really bad, and, you know, you can, you know, in the worst case scenario can obviously lose your life. But, you know, I think that it's something that, for me anyway, you know, it just grew to love over time, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't like an instantaneous like thing where I like loved kayaking. It was something that kind of like it grew to be a part of me, because I think that when we talk about water, there's a lot more to it than just getting out there and experiencing the adrenaline. And, you know, like for me, it's like this whole sort of kind of cyclical aspect of like running rivers, of like, you know, getting out there with your team, getting downstream safely, like the mission from start to finish, this whole idea of kind of completing a river trip. And there's this kind of you know, whole other side to it that is really, I think, what makes the sport as kind of special as it is.
It is a very special sport, and that's very cool that you're able to grow up on the river. And so from a very young age, you're obviously immersed in the water and you were starting to learn about it. But did that passion like bloom right away or like?
No, you know, like it for me, I think in the beginning, I was actually pretty timid and pretty nervous and kind of scared. Although I wasn't really scared around water. I've always loved jumping off cliffs and swimming and diving and stuff like that. But for me, my dad actually took me down the Grand Canyon when I was 14 years old and getting to experience a river trip like that, where you're out in the wilderness and you're sleeping under the stars and you kind of like, I sort of saw this other side of it. And from that point on, it was one of those sort of epiphany moments, just laying under the stars, where I remember telling my dad, I'm going to do whatever I can to make this my life all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so did you have a desire to go to the rafting side of things? Cause I've seen a lot of people that have a passion for rivers turn into raft guides.
Right. No, it's so funny because my friends give me a hard time. Cause like I managed to go my whole career without ever having to be a raft guide, which is kind of ridiculous. Cause most people get into the sport that way or go that route. But I mean, I was really lucky in the sense that I sort of grew up in the kind of kayaking scene, and I've been able to, you know, I never really did any raft guiding. I've hardly actually been on that many rafting trips really. So it's kind of funny. I managed to steer clear of that one, which is, if you can do, is pretty sweet, because I mean, rafting's great in its own way. It's got its own thing going, but, you know, kayaking, that's the sports car versus the bus, you know?
So your father, he obviously took you on some tricks. Was he a main influence growing up?
Yeah, my dad was a big kayaker back in the 70s and 80s in Northern California, and, you know, had this kind of crazy idea to start a kind of wilderness retreat, which ultimately kind of blossomed into this kayak school. So, yeah, I mean, he taught me to paddle when I was from a pretty young age, and it is definitely has been a major, you know, has been the biggest influence in my life for kind of getting into the sport, for sure.
Right on. Is that school still up and running?
Yeah, my folks have been running Otter Bar for almost 40 years now. Wow. And they're almost 70, so they're still up and at them every day, making things happen there. And it's pretty cool to see their work ethic, and they're still getting after it, and it's just kind of amazing.
Do they have a website?
Yeah, otterbar.com. Yep, if you want to learn to kayak, that's definitely the spot to do it on the west coast of the U.S. for sure.
I'm interested, like, so you obviously had a lot of influence growing up with the space, and now you're kind of one of the influential persons within that space. Do you find it hard to be inspired still, or what keeps you going?
Yeah, I mean, you know, inspiration, I think, is it's like a muscle. So it's something you kind of got to work at. And it's been kind of an interesting year for me. I mean, we were chatting about it a little bit earlier, but, you know, this has been my toughest year with injuries. I've had two shoulder injuries, and it's basically taken me off the water more than I've ever been off the water in my whole life. You know, I mean, I'm used to paddling a couple hundred days a year and getting out after it, you know, most days of the week. And you know, this year I've been off the water most of the year with two kind of torn labrums and whatnot. So, you know, it's been kind of a weird year because it's really allowed me a lot of time to like reflect on sort of where I'm at and what I want to do with the sport. And I feel like at this point in time, I have done so many trips and done, you know, there's been a, you know, it's been a, I've had a really great run, but I'm also like getting to a point where, okay, like what is this actually doing for me, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever. You know, and I'm always going to kayak, like no matter what. Like I'm a lifer and I'm going to do expeditions still, and I'm going to run waterfalls, and there's like, it's not going anywhere. But I also kind of have this whole other side of me that keeps me really inspired, which is making films and doing music. And you know, I guess what I'm getting at is this year, it sort of allowed me, by being injured, allowed me to realize, oh, there's all these other avenues that actually give me, as much or similar inspiration, you know? So I think, you know, I'm getting a little older now too. And you know, sort of, I guess, seeing that, this doesn't last forever, you know, that's kind of, I think staying inspired for me is using sort of these other outlets. And also this year too, just like, you know, kind of facing the reality of our sport, which is like, we've had a lot of we've had a lot of fatalities this year. You know, we've had, I mean, within the last 12 months, there've been like, you know, six, you know, kayakers in the scene who we've lost. And so that all has really affected me in a way that where I've sort of had to step back and look at things and just be a little bit more, I guess, you know, kind of dig a little deeper about, okay, why am I out here? What is this doing for me? And kind of where I'm at.
So hard to comprehend losing that many people in 1 year. Do you credit that due to people just trying to charge harder and harder, or is it?
I mean, it comes in waves, you know, and it's such a small community that we all know each other, you know. So it's like, it's I feel like, you know, and even though like those people weren't like my closest friends, but they were all people I knew, all people I paddle with, for you know, sometimes. And so and what it's attributed to, it's like, it's hard to say, but yeah, I do feel like right now there's a lot of momentum in the sport, and there have been some pretty solid progression, kind of progression with boat design that's kind of made the boats a lot easier. I don't know that that's what it's attributed to, but I do feel like people are charging harder, and you know, definitely with that comes, you know, consequences for sure.
That's really cool that you're able to have another avenue to, because it is a creative sport, so to have another avenue to release that creativity that you have inside of you. How is like filmmaking and music and social media, because you've done a lot of that too, like your videos are probably some of the most viral kayaking videos that are on the internet, like I would say hands down. How has that sculpted the way that you look going into like this next season?
Yep. I mean, social media is like it's an interesting topic in itself. Like I definitely, to be completely honest, have like a bit of a love-hate relationship with it. Like I'm thankful for it because it's allowed me to sort of quantify like what I do for a company, like put a number on it and be like, okay, I bring this level of value to you. So it's been good in that way. But then also I find myself, like maybe many of our listeners out there, on my phone way more than I need to be, or like, you know, checking in on things that are like not really that fulfilling, you know. Yeah. So it's like part of me like wants to just, you know, like throw my phone in the river, to be honest, you know, and get off of social media and just do the things that really do bring me fulfillment, which are, you know, which is being creative, which is making you know, making movies, making music, doing stuff that is really like actually like that's what is like true happiness is where it's at. Yeah. But that being said, like I think it's the type of thing you just got to kind of find balance with, you know? So like, I think that for me, it's and for anybody, like just making sure that you're like checking in with yourself and being like, all right, like I'm not letting this thing run my show, but I'm going to use it as like a tool, which I think is what it should be, you know?
Absolutely. And so you're working on a film right now, aren't you? A documentary you were telling me about?
Yeah. So I recently had this feature doc that I'm working on, fully funded. So for anyone who saw my last film, it was called Chasing Niagara, and this is kind of like sort of my next step after that. It's called Legacy, and it's basically a documentary about Scott Lindgren, who's kind of like the OG, for lack of a better comparison, kind of like the Warren Miller of kayaking, and it's kind of his life story and sort of some of the trials and tribulations he's been through within his life, and kind of stepping away from the sport and then stepping back into it. And you know, it's got everything from, you know, just it's a layered project for sure, but I think it'll be it's an interesting one for sure.
What about on the kayaking side of things? Obviously you're still very passionate about it. It's something that you said you're not going to give up anytime soon, but is there ever a moment when you're kayaking and you're like, ah, the camera, ah, the kayak, ah, like which one do I pick for this waterfall? Like,
I mean, I've always struggled with that, you know, like for many, many years, like I was always the one carrying the camera and always filming. And then as time went on, I started to make a little more money, and I was able to actually like hire people to do that because I was more passionate about the kayaking than getting behind the camera. But now I'm filming a lot more again and kind of like getting back into doing a bit of both. But I think for me, like the decision is like versus like whether it's filming or kayaking, it's kind of more like, am I doing kayaking projects or am I going out and trying to like direct car commercials or do bigger projects, you know, that are a little bit more financially sustainable, but also equally as interesting. Like, I really like doing creative film projects and enjoy, you know, different, like, it's new challenges, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've been challenging myself on rivers like my whole life, and you know, I definitely feel like it's you got to like grow and you got to change and you got to, like we were talking earlier, like continue to find inspiration. And I think the way to do that is diversification, you know, like making sure that you're not just doing the same events over and over again or kind of stuck in the same sort of loop, you know. You got to keep it fresh, keep it interesting. So I think that's kind of where I'm at is doing new things that get me fired up.
Has media and like understanding media and how to get really sick shots and like how things look and what looks cool and what doesn't look cool, do you think that's helped your kayaking career, just knowing like, hey, if I go send this waterfall versus that waterfall, this one's going to look way better on film, therefore I should go do that one instead? Like, has understanding media content, has that changed the way you kayak and changed your career?
Yeah, I mean, I would even take that a step further to say that, like, all things artistic help you progress, you know, like whether it's music, filmmaking, kayaking. I think like looking at things differently than other people is you know, even like within paddling, like that was something that I always really wanted to push, was, you know, downriver freestyle, like doing tricks off waterfalls, like trying to not just be like the kayaker that was good at racing or that was good at one thing or the other, like, but trying to like make it different.
Totally.
I really kind of feel like I did build my career around diversification and you know, filming and looking at things from different angles and you know, for me, it's always been like a package deal. And that's like, you know, with my projects, like I've always tried to do, you know, to be involved with the music, to be involved with the camera stuff, with the editing, like with all of it. 'Cause it's like, to me, that's the art form in itself. It's the package deal. It's doing everything every step of the way, and then it's like a true sort of representation of kind of like who you are, I feel like, you know.
I thought it was really interesting when you started coming out with rap music, because naturally this is like fully stereotypical, but I'm like, oh, kayakers, they probably like bluegrass and country, or I don't know. But what drew you towards rap?
I mean it's funny because I do like all those genres. I love folk and I love, you know, I love it all, really. Like, I mean I love every kind of genre of music. But, you know, growing up, I kind of grew up in this small community with a lot of musicians in it. And for whatever reason, I just really connected with the storytelling component of hip hop, I think.
Yeah.
Like, from a young age, it just resonated with me. And before that, it was kind of like poetry and I always liked writing poems and stuff. And it just sort of felt like, you know, I think when I was maybe like 11 or 12 or somewhere in that zone, I just started like messing around and, playing around with raps, and it just for whatever reason felt right, and I've just kind of stuck with it. And it's obvious, you know, it's hobby status, but I'm doing stuff with music that is, you know starting to be you know, something that could financially be an avenue as well, whether it's music videos or doing music events. We just did a music event in my house this last weekend, so like I'm trying to kind of, you know, branch out into making music much more of a priority, simply because I simply love it.
Yeah, for sure. And you're but you're not, I mean, you say it's just a hobby, but you're doing pretty good, aren't you? Like, on Spotify, like how many downloads you got going?
Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, I'm honestly really grateful that people are listening, you know. And doing an album a couple years ago and like making all my money back onto it after using a big studio in Portland and all that, like that felt really good.
Sick.
You know, like it's,
heck yeah,
it's sustainable. Like, it's like, you know, people are listening. And that feels good, because like along the way, like you are going to meet people, no matter what profession you're in, you're going to meet resistance. You know, you're going to have people telling you like, what, you're some white boy, or like, you know, kayaker rapper, like what, like that's whack or whatever, you know, like you hear that from people. And so it feels good to like, you know, block that out and be like, no, like fuck that. Like I've got my thing going. I have my own message. Like I'm focusing on, you know, who it is that I am inside. And if you do that, like it, I believe that you'll have success with it, however you want to define success. For me, success is having something that I'm proud of and something that's sustainable, you know? And so, I guess at the end of the day, like it is, you know, like like you said, it's yeah, people are listening, but it's still like, I look at some of my friends who are like professional musicians, and that's like what they do all day, every day. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to put in a little time each day, but I got putting in time to like a lot of different things, you know? So it's, yeah.
For sure. I think one of the coolest things about rap, I heard this article once, and they were talking about creativity, and like the fastest route to like get your creativity going is through spontaneous thinking and like spontaneous just coming up with something off the top of your head.
Totally. And like that's like in itself, like freestyle is like its own genre within hip hop, you know? Like that's something that I'm not, you know, it comes and goes. Like it's sometimes it's on point and sometimes it's off, but yeah, I have mad respect for the guys who are just awesome at that, because that's a tough one.
Yeah, for sure. So how can people find you?
If they're they can find me on Spotify just under my name, just Rush Sturgis. Yep, and on Apple Music or pretty much any of the platforms. Yeah.
All right, so this is an interesting one. I was going through your Instagram feed and I came across the comment where you had posted something about breaking your back on a waterfall in Argentina, which sucks, by the way. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. But one of the comments, this guy was like, well, good thing you sent it, because that's what life's all about. You either live or you die in your couch. Would you agree with that statement?
I mean, you know, I probably, it, like, had I paralyzed myself or something, I probably wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's a fine line. I think it's tough, you know, but even to that, to that as well, like, I do feel like you deal with what comes at you, you know, and had the worst case scenario happen to me there, you know, then I would have dealt with that, you know, the way that, you know, some of my friends have, who have, you know, hurt themselves so bad that they're not able to walk again, you know? So like it is that risk, you know, and I don't know that it's necessarily like, I don't know. There is this like this quote from this book called The War of Art, and it's, I'm going to paraphrase it, but he says something like, it's better to be in the stadium being, you know, kicked by the Bulls than like out in the parking lot. Yeah. Hanging out, you know? And I do agree with that. Like it's like you have to take your beat downs and you have to take your sort of your lows and use those to kind of make you stronger a little bit, mm-hmm. You know? And I think even for me, yeah, like breaking my back and kind of going through all that and realizing like, dang, I'm not invincible at this, you know, like that might have actually in the long term maybe saved me from seriously hurting myself on something else, you know? So, I'm grateful for it in a kind of weird way.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
It's been like almost 10 years ago. Yeah. That was a while ago. I did that. Yep.
Wow. But the recovery went pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. The recovery, you know, for me, it wasn't really that bad of a break. It was like a burst fracture on my LT. So it wasn't, I have some friends that have like really hurt their backs and had, you know, surgery and gone and not been able to kayak again, like on the same level. So I was able to really like within 3 or 4 months, pretty much get back to being in the zone again.
Yeah. So you've definitely seen a lot of awesome things happen on a kayak. What was like, what's like a standout moment where you're like, dude, like when that happened, that was the sickest thing I've ever seen.
Oh man, there's so many to choose from. I think like for me, like probably like the benchmark in my career has been, you know, running the Inga Rapids on the Congo. That was definitely, you know, and for listeners who are kind of unfamiliar with that one, that was like the first ascent of the biggest rapids on Earth. So like 1.6 million CFS, which is just on a whole different scale of whitewater. And so there was a lot of nerves and a lot of like, you know, preparation that went into that trip. Thanks to the leader on it, Steve Fisher, and completing that river, getting to the bottom of it and kind of looking back up at the, that last rapid, was probably the most, maybe like emotional moment I've had. Yeah. In sort of my kayaking career.
Sure.
Yeah. Getting through that.
That stuff's nuts, man. Cause I've seen multiple kinds of kayaking. There's like expedition kayaking, there's like waterfall, just gnarly sends, and then crazy tons of, you call it CFIs?
Like CFS, yeah, so cubic feet per second.
Yeah, yep. That stuff to me is like the gnarliest, because that water looks like something that not even a log would survive going down.
Yeah, definitely for me, big volume, for listeners who are kind of unaware, like that's, you know, big volume river running is essentially like the largest like volume of water that you can kind of go down, you know, like big water. And to me, like, that's like straight up the most scary. For some people, that's not the most scary. Gosh, like, I have some terrifying friends, like Benny Marr, who's one of the, you know, the best paddlers in the world. And he just loves big volume stuff. Like, he doesn't get as nervous on that. But when he goes on like steep technical creeks, he gets like more nervous. And that's like where I'm at home. Cause you know, growing up in like Northwest, Northern California, it's like steep technical creeks. Like, that's like my jam more, you know? So
for sure,
it's kind of all relative. It's what you're used to. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, the big volume stuff is the scariest.
What aspect is your favorite?
Man, I love all aspects of kayaking. Like, it's I love surfing big river waves. There's something really special about that, doing freestyle. And I love big volume. I love steep creeks. I mean, it's hard to like pinpoint one thing, but I would say that it's hard to put into words how kind of amazing. And, you know, maybe like mountain bikers, I think, get to experience this too. But like, when you get to experience like that flow, you know, where it's just like into one drop, you know, off of the next, like down to the next water slide thing, you know, it's like this amazing like flow of moving down a river and just like kind of nailing all your lines. That's like, it's pretty hard to beat that feeling, you know. And I think you can experience it in other sports, but in a kayak, it's just like the most fun thing ever.
That sounds super fun. So when you're looking at a river, what are you looking for? Like, are there certain things that you could tell that's underneath the water just by looking at the surface?
Yeah, I mean, reading water is an art form in itself, you know, like being able to like gauge what current is going to do to you and to line things up and to use, you know, not have too much momentum, but not too little. And it's all like, it's very complicated, and it's the only way you can learn it is by doing it.
Yeah.
So that is the one thing with reading water, is that you learn it through trial and error, and you will ultimately learn it the hard way at one point or another, the longer you do it, you know?
What about, I mean, the big waterfalls where there's just tons of water coming down, there's no way you can tell what's at the bottom, right?
Not really, but I mean, you know, like, waterfalls are typically the deepest part of any river, you know, it's where it's been kind of like hollowed out. And, you know, we get that question a lot. Like, how do you know how deep it is, or how do you know what's at the bottom? And, yeah, you're right. You never really know for sure, but you can usually get a pretty good guess just by kind of looking at the geology and just, you know, sort of your general intuition but yeah, always a little bit of a roll of the dice for sure.
A guinea pig.
Yep.
Have you had some first ascents?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, like, definitely, like, if you're, when you're going out there and running first ascents, or, you know, you're oftentimes, you know, there's one person or a few people who are probing stuff first. And yeah, that's definitely, it's always a bit of a gamble, and sometimes it hurts.
Like, what's the worst thing that,
the worst thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty, it's a pretty crazy question, but
yeah.
What's the worst thing that's happened to you in kayaking?
I would say, yeah, for sure, like, the most significant event for me was on Alexander Falls. So we were trying to break the world record at the time. So it was a 107-foot drop, and Tyler brought and I. Tyler went first. And when you run waterfalls in kayaking, we oftentimes Rochambeau, and whoever wins goes first. And so in that scenario, Tyler went first. And he stuck the drop, meaning he like didn't come out of his boat or anything, and he paddled away from it. And so in order for it to count for a world record, that's how it has to be done. And I went second, and when I landed, I was a little bit too far right, and when I landed, my spray deck basically imploded, so my boat filled up with water, and so I was trapped behind the curtain of the falls.
Oh no!
And I did about, you know, close to a minute behind the curtain, and was just getting like pummeled back there. And it was the only time in my entire kayaking career where I thought that I was gonna die, and basically went through that kind of transformation where the mind basically accepts death. And that was a bit of a interesting experience, because you sort of go into a bit of a euphoric state, and it was really interesting for me to feel like that moment of panic that then turned to kind of euphoria. And it was actually like this funny voice in my head that just said, like, I was like literally just like laughing, like god, like, damn it, like, now you're gonna drown, like, you lost the game,
so good,
like, you, like, you screwed up, you know. But it wasn't like this like really like foreboding, like, oh my god, like, you're gonna die, like, anything like that. It was this kind of just like, you know, like, whatever, like, you lost the game. But it was at that point too where I had kind of an extra burst of energy, and I kind of started swimming as hard as I could, and got shoved really deep, and ultimately, you know, popped up, you know, a long ways downstream. But yeah, that was kind of one of the events in my life that was definitely where I kind of shook me up a lot. Yeah. But there've been a lot. I mean, there've been other ones. I mean, like we almost got nailed by like a croc one time in Uganda and the Nile. Like that was a heavy one. There've been, you know, doing CPR on Jerd and bringing him back to life after him being underwater for 3 minutes. I mean, all these like kind of moments like stacked on top of each other. It's hard to kind of pinpoint one, but there was definitely something significant about a near-death experience that I'll always remember for sure.
And when you're behind the curtain like that, the best thing to do is to swim down.
I mean, you're trying to get into, you want to get kicked out, you know, so like you want to get into the curtain, yeah, and basically have it flush you downstream. So that's really, you're just at the mercy of the river ultimately.
And what do you credit that to, like you making it out, what do you credit it to? Like, was there a certain thing that we can learn from that?
No, you know, I think it was kind of like, don't, you know, when that panic kicked in, that's also kind of when the euphoria kicked in. It was like shortly after that. And I think the lesson for me was like, stay calm, relax, like you're going to get out of this, you know, keep telling yourself that and hopefully you will.
And so that other moment that you just talked about where you did CPR to revive one of your buddies, is that the moment that we see in one of your films?
Yeah, so if you watch Chasing Niagara, which you can find on Amazon or iTunes or wherever, yeah, there's a scene in there where we did CPR on our friend Jerd and managed to bring him back, which was super super fortunate given over I think it's like he did three and a half minutes underwater or something like that, so it's pretty in warm water too, so I know from like statistically the odds are not great. You know, for bringing someone back, but yeah, that was a lucky one for sure.
Yeah, you guys really dodged a bullet on that.
Yeah, totally.
You've learned a lot from kayaking, like about yourself, about your body. Like, what's the one thing that it's taught you about life?
Whew, that's a loaded question. I mean, it sounds cliche to say, but like, I do feel that there is a huge parallel between like running rivers and your own life. And I think the thing that I've taken away from it is just like dealing with things one step at a time, you know, like when you're going down a river, if you're kind of like panicked about what's around the corner or what's downstream, you know, like if that's like distracting you, then you're not going to have a great mission. You know, it's like, it's sort of like, okay, let's break this thing down. Let's not panic. Let's deal with what the river is kind of throwing at us like one step at a time. Cause ultimately like running rivers and I feel like life is like, it's problem solving, it's figuring out the puzzle, it's like putting it together and also like working together as a team. You know, I think that especially one thing that I've taken away really these last few years kind of from working on this project with Scott, honestly, which is like a lot of the project is about vulnerability and about you know, talking to friends about problems that you might be having and just like externalizing a little bit of you know, some of the issues in your life, like all of that is really important. And I think like, you know, being on a river together, you know, teaches you a lot of that kind of camaraderie and just sort of like general sort of like cohesiveness that exists within your tribe or your team, you know. And I think that, you know, that's equally as important in life, like surrounding yourself with people that you trust, that have your back, you know, and choosing those people wisely.
That is super important to like express the negative things that we are dealing with in life too, because I think there's a lot of times when we only share the good parts.
Yep.
And that can be discouraging to other people because all they see is good, or like other people.
And that's like, I mean, we were talking about social media earlier, but I think that's one of the major negatives in it too. You know, it's this kind of, I think it's a false sense of self a little bit, you know? And I think that there's a lot of ego in that, and it's easy to like compare yourself to other people, or like even sometimes I have a weird time about posting something and being like, well, someone else might see this and feel like they're not, you know, having the same experience because they can't, or like it's just like this, I don't know, and we don't need to compare ourselves to anyone else, but you know just kind of being true to yourself sort of, I don't know, dialing that in is easier said than done, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it is important to remain true to yourself and also to like express to people, like, you don't have to live the life that I'm living. Like, you have your own opportunities in front of you, you have your own passions, and that's equally as important to follow those desires. And yeah, just because I'm kayaking and you might be, I keep using this analogy in all the podcasts, but you might be quilting, you know, like if quilting's your thing and you love doing it, and but you're also like, all these people are traveling the world and they're doing their thing. Like, if quilting makes you happy, then just rest in that and get psyched on it.
Yeah. And there's like, and there's so many different ways to access it too. You know, like I always bring up the example of like, I have some friends who are nurses that are like legitimately some of the best kayakers on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they don't, they're not, you know, so-called like pros, like they're not getting like paid to kayak, but they're getting after it like all the time. You know, they have tons of time off. They get on, you know, trips overseas like all the time. Like, you can definitely find jobs and professions where you can still, you know, access the outdoors and on whatever level you want to. Like, you don't need to be the most gnarly dude out there to be fulfilled, you know? And I think like the one thing that I really push is like, is this idea of fulfillment and what that means. And I think that it's different for everybody, but I really feel that the more people that can enjoy the outdoors, that the more people will be fulfilled, because I think it's like one of the most absent things in our culture today. It's like we've sort of like lost touch with that almost, like where it's like, it's whatever, it's about the, I don't know, it's kind of gone dark side in a way. And I feel like we need to push getting more people outside, or not for even sure, just outside, but just whatever, just using their bodies in general, exercise. You know, I feel like that people will have much more success with fulfillment if they can do that.
Yeah, and there's definitely like a false sense of fulfillment out there too, right? It's like super sad to bring up this as an analogy, but, or like as an example, but like Anthony Bourdain was like living the life, and we see this all the time, like celebrities, high profile people that have these dream jobs, or what we think are dream jobs, and we think that they're having all this fulfillment and we desire that fulfillment, but deep down those people have like crazy struggles and it's not fulfilling them. It's not what they thought they were looking for.
Yep.
And so I think it is super important for all of us to find something that's kind of outside of ourselves that gives us fulfillment.
For sure. And I mean, I think you and I both, like anybody, you know, we're anyone who gets to do what they love for a living, like there's like, we're super fortunate, you know, like we're the lucky ones. And there's a lot of people in this world that are, you know, don't, you know, aren't able to experience the same things, but there's a big difference between success and fulfillment, you know? And I think when you break it down and you actually look at like the American population in general, there's a lot of really unhappy people here, you know? Like, I don't think that we have like a mental, like, you know, issue. I mean, we can go deep on this, but when you start talking about whatever, school shootings, like whatever, to me, like, that's like a lack of fulfillment, you know, there's a lack of happiness in this country. And I don't know what that's like attributed to necessarily, but it's not because like people aren't successful. Like, there's a lot of people who are making money and they're doing great on that department, but they're lacking this other thing. And to kind of bring it back around to like what we're talking about here, I think that really like people need the outdoors in their life, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know that that's like the end all like answer to it, but I don't think it, I actually intrinsically kind of do think that that's one of the biggest issues. It's like, we come from nature, we come from the wild, we come from this background of like, you know, of sort of survival. And I really think that it would help our culture for people to experience that more.
You know? Yeah. For me, I've noticed this too in my life. Like, I definitely am super happy outside. I love being outdoors. And I think I've realized like the reason why I perhaps love being in nature is because it's so unscarred by human influence, you know? Like, when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, like I was flying over Kamchatka, Russia once, and it was the furthest out I think I've like ever been. Like, we filled up this helicopter with fuel, and then we filled up like extra fuel tanks, and then we flew as far as we could and then filled up with the fuel tanks and then kept going. And we were like, I mean, there wasn't a road, there wasn't a power line. It's one of the craziest things, but I was like, this is like completely unscarred by human like influence. And to me, like, I love looking out and I love seeing that, because it's just how it was supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
There's something to that for
sure. The untouched. No, it's true. It's definitely, it gives you a sense of purpose, I feel like.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're seeking crazy indulgences, maybe take a step back, go out to nature and reset a little bit.
Take a deep breath, go for a nice walk. Maybe go run a waterfall.
Yeah, there you go. Right on, man. Well, I think we'll end this on a really light note, because that's always fun. If you had to pick, like, making movies, making music, or just making a good time on a kayak? Which one?
Well, I guess it would just be, it'd be pretty rad to like go all in on the rap career.
Yeah,
You know, being a traveling musician, I've got friends who do it and it looks pretty amazing. But that said, I'm pretty happy having a little bit of everything. You know, I don't know that I would want all of one thing, like kind of bringing it back around to this diversification thing. I think it's crucial for me for happiness to like, to be a bit spread out over a number of different things versus just like one thing. Otherwise I feel like I might get uninterested.
Right on, man. All right, well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate having you over here and hanging out in the back of the Jeep.
Yeah,
even though it's freezing cold out here, you stuck it out.
No, thanks for having me, Zach. I appreciate
right
it.
Right on. Take it easy.
For sure, buddy.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to learn more about this series, make sure to subscribe to Be Alive on their YouTube or podcast app. You can also find them on other social channels. I'm Zach Shellhammer, and until the next one, stay stoked.